Amen. Thank you, Brother Brett. Good song. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. The book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. We have two seasons in Oklahoma. Hot and cold. Amen. 2 days ago it was the hot season. It ended. Hot season. And now we've entered the cold season. Now, how many of you like it cold? Man, praise the Lord for you. Now, how many of you like it warm? You like the weather warm? You like it warm, Hannah? All right. I like it cold. When I was a kid, I liked it cold so much. And I'm not lying. I liked it cold. And I would open my window. And I grew up in the mountains of Colorado. And I would open my window before I went to bed at night and wrap up in about 3 blankets. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Wrap up in 3 blankets. And then just had about that much where I could breathe in one blanket. Everything else is covered. And opened that window, and it got so cold that where there was actually frost on the inside of the window. Not just the outside, the inside of the window. And so I like it cold. So turn that air conditioner down to about 50. Amen? And that'll keep you awake during the message tonight. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, follow along please tonight as I read this passage of scripture. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray tonight, then we'll get into the message. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. And Lord, tonight, I just pray that God, you'd open up the word of God to each one of our hearts and our minds tonight. Take the truths, Lord, we pray, of the passage tonight and manifest them in the life of each Christian, Lord, tonight. And use thy word, we pray. Use thy word tonight to make us, Lord, that Christian, a better Christian that we ought to be than when we walked in the door tonight. So God, use your word, we pray. Give us open hearts to it. Give us a mind to want to follow it and love it and live it with all our hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the passage of scripture we just read tonight, we find a good church that was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church in Thessalonica. We know that they were a good church because Paul reminded us in verse 8, in the last phrase, he said, so that we need not to speak anything. And Paul was referring to exhortation or even correction that might be needed in that church to steer them in a direction of serving the Lord with all their heart. So the example of the Thessalonian church is a church that is a good church. It's an example for us to follow. And there are some key words in this passage of Scripture that identify what they were like. There are some key words in this passage that open to us an understanding of what kind of people that they are. Sometimes it does us good to just take the words of the Bible and notice the words. Did you know we have a Bible that God inspired the very words of the Scripture? We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scriptures, which simply says that every word is inspired by God. I'm glad every word is inspired by God. Amen? And it's good for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so the words of the passage of Scripture tonight that I want to bring out to you are words that illuminate our mind, a pattern that every church, that every individual Christian should seek to follow and should seek to have a heart to follow for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you some of the words that Paul brings out. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, verse 3, it says this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now, folks, this church had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed and trusted in Christ. They had faith in Christ. And what does it take us to shake our faith? What does it take you to shake your faith? What does it take you to lose your faith? You know, some Christians, the slightest little trouble that comes along or the slightest little problem that enters into our life and we're ready to quit, we're ready to throw in the towel, we're ready to lose our faith. But let me tell you, this church had faith in God. And they had faith. We know according to verse number 6 that they were a church that had affliction. They were a church that had affliction, but despite the affliction, they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when God comes back, the Bible says he's going to be looking for faith. He's going to be looking for faith. Where is our faith, Christian? I'll tell you what. Don't put your faith in Joe Biden. Because if you do, you are going to lose your faith. You know, our faith, by the way, even if we had a good president, we still ought not put our faith in that. There is only one object of our complete faith, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never fail you. Put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in Christ. There's a second word. Notice this word, and this is a word most Christians don't like. Verse number 3, labor of love. A labor of love. Can I tell you, when you fall in love with Jesus, you won't mind serving him. You won't mind working for him. You won't mind doing the extra duties, because when you serve out of love, it's the best kind of service there is. That's why most Christians ought to fall in love with the Lord. Amen. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a laboring church. They labored. You know, if you're going to be productive for the Lord in life, you got to learn to work. You know, most people, that word work is a dirty four-letter word. Work. But I want to tell you something. It's a good word in God's vocabulary. Amen. They labored in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as independent fundamental Baptists, we can sometimes forget of the importance of loving the Lord. Sometimes we get so focused on the do's and the don'ts, and we should. But sometimes we lose our love. And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ had in had that one problem with the Laodicean church. They were doing all kinds of things. They were doing this, that, and the other. But the Lord said, I got one thing against you. You've left your first love.
That's right. Amen.
You left your first love. Hey, Christian, remember that first love you had for God? Remember that joy of serving Christ that you used to have? Remember that excitement and thrill when you came to church and got to hear the Bible preached and got to hear the preacher spit and spew and stomp? Remember that? And the more he stepped on your toes, the more you said amen. Hey, don't lose your first love. Stay in love with Jesus. Stay in love with Christ. You can do all the things, the outward things in the world, but if you lose a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be long before all the things you do for the Lord will fade away. The key to serving the Lord is to stay in a spiritual love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They labored in love for the Lord. Notice the third word. It says here after labor of love, verse 3, and patience of hope. You know, the only person that likes patience is doctors. Some of you will catch that later on. I throw things in there just to see if you're listening. Patience. Can I tell you the best way to serve the Lord is to have a certain amount of patience? You got to be patient. You know, if you don't have patience in your prayer life, you'll quit praying. Our prayer lives need our patience. Amen? Sometimes a Christian, God didn't answer their prayer right away or didn't answer it how they thought God should answer it. And you know what they did? They lost their patience in prayer. They threw up their hands. You know, God wants us to have patience in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Have patience. Have patience, Christians. Have patience with other people. Do you know what I hate in life? I hate stoplights. How many of you hate stoplights? I hate stoplights. It seems like when you stop at a stoplight, I know it's only 30 seconds, but it seems like 2 hours. You're sitting there doing nothing. And then the car in front of you, the lady's got her cell phone on. The light turns green and she sits there. Right? And then as soon as the light turns red, she takes off. And you get to sit there for another 30 seconds. And before long, you've lost your Christianity. Amen? We are not patient people. By the way, there are many times as a Christian that you have to wait on God. You have to wait on God. There have been times, I remember there was a 9-month time in my life when I was waiting on God. And really, I could not go forward until God answered that prayer. It took 9 months. And I just had to wait on God. You know, oftentimes a Christian, when we're in those situations, you know what happens? We lose our patience. We quit waiting on God. And we make an earthly decision that we end up regretting one day. And that earthly decision can often get us out of the perfect will of God because we lost our patience. Amen? Can I tell you what? Every home needs patience with each other. Amen? You got to be careful even as you grow older that you don't grow out of patience with each other. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's easier to have patience when you're young than when you're old. Amen. We need patience. We need patience. And by the way, that is the work of the Lord inside of us. Is patience. You know, husbands, you need patience with your wives. Wives, you need patience with your husband. I thought I'd get a few amens right there. We need patience. It's a characteristic of this church. They were a good church. They were patient. Patient in hope of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, notice verse 6. The word followers. You became followers of us and of the Lord. They were following the Lord. They were following the Lord. Are you following the Lord? Who are you following? Hey, teenager, who are you following? Back when I was young, it was Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan, and everybody had the poster in their room of Michael Jordan jumping 32 feet high. You seen that poster? Oh, man, I want to be like Mike was the theme. Remember that? But can I tell you what? You know who we ought to honor? We ought to honor God's people. We ought to be followers of God's people, not followers of this world. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's wrong to enjoy basketball or something like that. I don't think that's wrong. But I do think it's wrong to esteem them higher than the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Be a follower. Who are you following tonight? Who are you following? Are you following the ways of the world? Are you following the ideas of this world? Well, all you got to do is turn on garbage, turn on the television, and you know there's some stuff you can't follow. There's a bunch of garbage on television. 2.5 men. Garbage. Christians ought not follow that. Amen. Yeah. Watch garbage on television. Watch garbage on the phone. And we absorb our whole lives when we lose sight of following Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for us, who paid the price for our sins. We need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you following tonight? Who are you following? You know, the Bible reminds us, and the Apostle Paul reminded us and asked this question in another passage. He said, who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? Sometimes there's a person or some kind of personal object in our life, and they are hindering us from being a wholehearted Christian and serving the Lord. Let me tell you something tonight. Don't let anything or anyone prevent you from being a wholehearted follower of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Follow him. Follow the Lord. That's the only thing that's going to matter. You know, the Bible, they used to say, I almost called it a Bible verse, but it's not a Bible verse. But there was a saying the old time preachers used to say is, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. It's not going to matter how much we had. It's not going to matter. What matters is that we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following him? Are you following the Lord? We need to be following the Lord. It was an example. It was a picture of this early church, followers. Notice the next word, verse 6. Affliction. Having received the word in much affliction, notice, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, I'll be honest with you. Us Americans, we really don't know what affliction is. We really don't know what persecution is. I think the day's coming when we will. And I think it could be right around the corner. But we really don't know what affliction is. We call inconvenience affliction, right? We really don't know what it's like for the Apostle Paul would go into a city and they would stone him. He spent a day and a night out in the middle of the ocean. He was beaten 3 times for preaching the gospel. This church was afflicted. I mean, people hated them for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did it cause them to turn? No. They just kept on believing in God and just kept on trusting God. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That is the kind of faith we need. That is the kind of Christianity that we need. We need to follow afflictions. Don't get me wrong. I think some people do endure some affliction. I think there are Christians that have an affliction, a health affliction, a physical affliction, or some kind of a family affliction. You say, oh, that's me. My family afflicts me. Yes. Yeah, that's me. Or some kind of affliction. We face some things. But hear me. Keep your eye on the Lord. Don't lose your faith. Don't put your eye on the affliction. Amen. We've got some kids going to Bible college here. Guess what? You'll face a little bit of affliction. I remember sometimes being in Bible college, I was so tired. I was numb. You ever been so tired you're numb? I walked around like zombies. You know, I was the creator of the show, Walking Dead. That was me. I was in Bible college. I remember being so tired. Let me tell you something. You better keep on serving Jesus. Keep your eye on the Lord, even when you're tired. Amen. When you're tired, when you get sick, or your health, physical health fails, just keep your eye on the Lord. Whatever affliction that you go through, you need to draw closer to the Lord instead of further away from the Lord. Affliction. And by the way, notice their affliction brought them joy. And the Holy Spirit, affliction is not a bad thing. Affliction is something that can give you a greater joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome the affliction. Paul said, I learned to thank God for the afflictions. I learned to thank God for the persecutions and the troubles that came into my life. Thank you, God. Oh, if we all could be like that and thank God for the afflictions that we have. But what do we do instead? We complain. Instead of, you know, it reminds me of the story of a man who said, I used to complain about my hands until I met a man that didn't have any hands. I used to complain about my feet until I found a man who didn't have any feet. You know, our afflictions can be made worse by our spirit and our attitude toward them. But if God allows affliction into our life, can I tell you what? It's not necessarily a bad thing. It can give you joy in the Holy Spirit. Because affliction is meant to cause us to look at the good things and the blessings. It's meant to uplift our soul to God because it pulls us out of the feelings of the affliction. We're supposed to have that kind of joy, the joy in of the Spirit of God. Amen? Joy. Had affliction. They had joy. Number five. Notice in verse number seven. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You know that word ensamples is simply the word example. They were an example to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what young people need? They need examples. They need examples. They need somebody that they can pattern their life after and want to follow in that footstep. That's what they need. And the truth is, we all need that. We need somebody that we can look at and say, I want to be like them. I want to follow Christ. I want to be like that Christian. That's what I want to be. They were an example to all the churches in Macedonia. All the churches said, you know what? We want our church to be like the Church of Thessalonica. A great church. A model church. Didn't mean they were big. Didn't mean they were had a lot of things going. They didn't have a lot of maybe money, or they didn't have a lot of great things. But I'll tell you what they did have. They had the joy of God. And they were examples to all the world. Can I tell you, Dad, you may not realize it, but those kids are watching you. Those kids are watching you. They've got their eyes on you. They are looking for someone to follow. And you know what? We want to be the kind of dads that are praying, giving, working, faithful, so that when the eyes of our young people see us, they see an example in us. One of the greatest compliments you could ever have is for somebody to say, I saw the Lord in you. I saw the Lord in you. That's what it means, an example. Are you an example to somebody? Or what kind of an example are you to somebody? Can somebody's faith be stronger in the Lord because of your example? That's what Paul's teaching us. He's explaining to us that, hey, we're supposed to be an example to the world. Now, that doesn't mean we're proud and, you know, our head's blown up. You know, we think we're... That's not what it's saying, because humility is an example to other people. But it's saying that people could look to them and attach to them, and these other churches could look to them and say, man, there's something they have. There's something they have that I want to have. We need that kind of faith. We need to be that kind of example. It may surprise you, but every elementary kid looks up to the junior high kid. And the junior high kid looks up to the high school kid. And the high school kid looks up to the college kid. And the young adult looks up to the middle-aged adult. And the middle-aged adult looks to the old adult. And the old adult looks to heaven. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I'm saying to you, somebody's watching you. Somebody's got their eye on you. Somebody needs an example to follow in their life. Somebody needs you to be that one that shows them the way, not just by words, but by how you live your life and conduct your life and how you conduct yourself in the world in which we need. They were examples. They were examples. Examples everywhere, every place. Notice number 6, verse 8. It says, from you sounded the word of the Lord. You know what they were? They were loudmouths for Jesus. Everywhere they went, they were talking about the Lord. Everywhere they went, they were talking about Jesus and spreading the gospel. People knew, hey, there's supposed to be a light in us everywhere we go. Amen? He's the light of the world, and we're a reflection of the light. There is supposed to be something in us that is always reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. It's always supposed to be there. It means having strength in your test. It means having prayer in your problems. It means having conviction over convenience. It means having integrity over impulse. It means having strength that you're going to trust in God and believe God and never let your convictions dip down. Amen. Amen? Hey, we live in a time in our world when convictions, Christians are letting down the convictions of the Bible. They're becoming more comfortable. And hey, we can't afford to be at ease in Zion. Amen. As the Old Testament describes. We gotta keep our hearts on fire for the Lord. Hey, we need to keep a fire kindled in our hearts. We need to keep that fire. Why? Because we're supposed to be a loud mouth for Jesus. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad. So we need not to speak anything. You say, preacher, it's hard to be a testimony at work. Hey, let the light of Christ reflect through you. Amen. Amen. Let the light of Christ through you be a reflection of the light of the world. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let him who is in you come out of you. They sounded out the word of the Lord. You know, it's not easy to be a preacher today. There's sometimes, you may not know this, sometimes I preach on certain subjects, and sometimes people are listening on the internet. And I'll get some nasty comments. And every once in a while, I'll get a phone call. I got a phone call not too long ago from a guy, and he said, your church, someone in your church left a little paper on my car at Walmart. I said, okay. And he got real belligerent. He said, I didn't ask for it. And I didn't want it. I wanted to say, yeah, but you sound like you needed it. Amen. I didn't want it. And you better tell them to quit it. So I'm officially going on record tonight to tell you to keep on doing it. Amen. Don't quit. From you, sound it out. The gospel. You know, some people are stubborn. And the first time they're confronted with Christ, they get mad. You confront them again, they may still get mad. But the gospel can whittle them down. Yes, sir. Sure can. The gospel can work on them. Amen? Amen? Just keep on letting the gospel. Hey, just keep on sounding out the word of God. Years ago, we had a family when I pastored in Denver, Colorado. We had a family there who lost one of their family members, and they were Catholic. The whole family was Catholic. And they asked me to come do a service with the intention of giving the gospel to the whole family in a memorial service for their family member. So I agreed. But the only thing was, is that it was at the Catholic Mother Cabrini Shrine. And if you walked into this shrine, there was this great, it's probably 20-foot statue of Mother Cabrini, whoever she was. And she was going like this, you know. And there I was standing there, I'm 6 foot tall, and Mother Cabrini, she's 20 foot tall. And she's standing right behind me. And right in the back row was a nun. And when I walked in, I said, I'm Pastor Larson. She looked at me and she said, you're Baptist. I said, yes, ma'am. She scowled at me. She didn't like me from then on. And all she knew was that I was Baptist. Now, I think I'm a pretty nice guy. Don't you agree? Yeah. But she didn't like me. So I got up. I'm at Mother Cabrini Shrine, a church full of Catholic people. It was not a church. It's just, sorry, wrong word. A full of Catholic people there. And a nun standing in the back row going like this, looking at me. And you know what? I gave him the gospel. I let him know it was not by works. You can't get to heaven by sacraments. You can't get to heaven by doing all that Catholic stuff. The seven sacraments are nothing, that's nothing more than work salvation. And it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy have they saved us. Praise the Lord. And that day, one of them family members got saved and trusted Christ. And I was ready because I thought that nun was going to come down and shut me down when I was saying, when I was giving the gospel. So I was ready. So you know what I was planning to do? I was planning to bow. I say, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help everyone to understand they're sinners. Amen. And that there's a penalty for sin. I was going to give the plan of salvation during prayer. Amen. I hope that nun wouldn't disturb me at that point. Right? What am I trying to say? Just keep sounding out the word of the Lord. Just keep giving it out. Keep being an example. Keep having faith. Keep having patience. Keep laboring in love. It is the ingredients. It's the ingredients of a faithful Christian. Just stick with it. Stay with it. Lastly, I want you to see verse 9. They turned to God from idols. Notice verse 9. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, a lot of people have idols in their life. A lot of people have idols in your life. Now, parents, let me just say something. Don't let your kids idolize sports stars, amen, movie stars. Don't let them idolize the world. See, when the church of Thessalonica got saved, they turned from all that stuff. They turned and served the living God. Now you say, well, those things aren't stone idols. No, they're not the same stone idols like there were in that day. But nonetheless, an idol is something you place your heart in above God. Hey, it could be an automobile. It could be anything. It could be anything in your life you put before God. That is an idol. And God said, hey, don't let that happen. They turned from those idols to serve the living God. Years ago, I was a school administrator. I was mean. And I enjoyed every minute of it. But I was a school administrator. We had a boy that came to school there, and it was a rough situation. And the boy, he had a heart to love God, but I'm telling you, it was a mess. His home life was a mess. And by the way, don't ever use a bad home life as an excuse to not serve God. You can do it. But he had a horrible home life, and he would come to school and he'd tell me horrible stories about how his parents got in a knockdown, drag-out fight the night before. And he didn't have any food that day. And because mom was messed up and didn't make him a lunch, and he had to fend for himself. He'd come to school and he'd come, and his name was Mick Lawler. And Mick would come to school, but he had a humble heart. And I preached on music one day, and I was teaching the kids in the school the difference between the right music and the wrong music. You know, there's a difference. Amen. Don't just suck up every music that comes out there, because some has a beat that affects the flesh. And so I'm up there teaching on it. And old Mick, he came to me after the service, and in his humble way. And he said, Pastor, I have some bad music in my home. Can I get rid of it? I said, sure. He said, well, I'll just give it to somebody else. Well, don't give it to somebody else, because then they got it, right? I said, why don't you bring it to school? And he brought to school. Everybody came to school that day with their lunch and their bag and their backpack. Old Mick came in with a pile of records, CDs. Everybody was looking at him. No, cassette. Yes, cassettes. CDs weren't around at that time. That's newfangled stuff, right? And he carried this big old pile, all this garbage music, you know. And I had a hammer in my drawer. And I gave him my hammer. I said, here, you do the honors. Amen. And man, I'm telling you what, there was phonographs flying all over my office. He was pounding. He broke them all up. Now, that boy had a rough home life. And he had, you know, if you'd looked at him and thought anybody would not want to serve the Lord, you'd think it'd be Mick Lawler. But when he got done, he had the biggest smile on his face. And I patted him on the back and said, good job, Mick. You did the right thing. You know, that's what Jesus meant when he said, they turned from their idols to serve the living God. You know, there's some things in life that we're going to have to give to God because they're not pleasing to God. There's some things we're going to have to open our heart and say, Lord, detach my heart. Help me to turn from the idol that I've got in my life. Help me, Lord, to get rid of it so that I can wholly serve you. You know, a ship can be slowed down. A great ship can be slowed down by all the barnacles that are attached to the bottom of it. It can literally cause a ship, if there's too many barnacles, get attached to a ship. And you know what they have to do? They have to go down there and find a certain kind of scraper, and they have to scrape every barnacle off of the bottom of that ship so that ship can flow right. You know what? That's what we have to do in our lives. Sometimes we got to get in our heart and scrape off barnacles that have attached ourselves to them. Sometimes we got to turn from those idols and serve the living God. Now, let me ask you tonight, is there something in your life that's slowing you down? Is there some kind of thing in your life that's causing you? Is there a barnacle that's attached to your heart and it's pulling the life out of you? Do like they did in Thessalonica. Take those things, those idols, and take them and turn from them and give them the living God. I heard a story about years ago, back in the 60s, before there were many Christian schools in existence. There was a young lady in a high school that had a testimony for the Lord. She went to a public school, and it was hard to serve the Lord, but she kept her heart right. She kept serving the Lord back in the 60s, and she was a beam, and everybody loved her. Everyone in the school loved her, and she was nominated for the prom queen. And when that night came in that football game, they nominated her. They voted her as the prom queen. Now, listen, I'm not for proms, okay? I'm just not for that kind of stuff. But this is back at the time when at least there was some relative decency. And you know what that young lady did? That band was going to play some rock song. And they changed their mind all of a sudden at the last minute, and they started playing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amen. As a testimony to the life of that girl. You know why they did that? Because they knew her testimony, and they knew her example, and they knew that she was one that turned from idols to serve the living God. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Whatever idol's in your life, you don't need it. You don't need it. Take that idol. Give it to God. Give it to God. Because God wants to use you in a way that you have no idea. He wants to use you more than you ever know. We don't understand how God can use us. But when this world sees and knows that we've turned to that God, we don't need those idols anymore. They wonder what is in them that causes them to want to serve the Lord. We're salt in this world. We're light. We should create a thirst in the lost world for the Lord. They turn from idols to serve the living God. Hey, Chris, I want to ask you tonight, are you serving God with all your heart? No, I didn't ask you if you're serving God. I asked you, are you serving God with all your heart? With every fiber of your being. Scripture teaches us, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And whatever we're supposed to be doing, whatever God's commanded us to do, it must be with a whole heart. That's serving the Lord. Are you serving the Lord with your whole heart tonight? Hey, listen, if there's some barnacle hanging attached to your life, you know what you ought to do with it? You ought to come to this old altar and put it on the altar. Say, Lord, I don't need that anymore. I want to serve you with all my heart. I'm going to be a testimony for you. I want to be the one from me sounded out the gospel. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want people to know there's a God that lives inside of me. Do they know that in your life? Oh, if not tonight, why don't you come? Why don't you find a place in the altar and say, Lord, that's what I want to be. Help me to be that. Help me to be that Christian that's turned from all those things in the world and give my life to God. Would you do it tonight? Let's bow our heads tonight.